Hi, and welcome to Living Word Northwest's podcast. We are so glad that you're here. Our goal at Living Word is to reach people, touch lives, and make a difference. Our hope is that this week's message encourages you and those listening with you. Remember, God wants to connect with you on a personal level, and we don't think it's an accident that you're here. If you or someone like you needs help along that journey, we are here for you. Stay tuned after this message on how to connect with us, but for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's sermon.
Well, I would like to introduce somebody close to my heart and that I'm excited about in terms of their association with this church and ministry. Would you please welcome Brandon and Heidi Lyles to the platform? Pastors in Rogers. Thank you there, Brandon.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Appreciate you all being here.
Thank you. Wow, we are excited to be here this morning. I do want to say first and foremost, thank you, Pastor Mac, Pastor Lynn. It is an honor to be a part of this church, part of this family. And I want to say thank you to all of you out there that are here, also that are watching. You're a part of our family, and you've been generous, not just obviously financially, but with your hearts and souls and with your times and gifts, and they've been an investment into our family. And I also want to say thank you to the Northwest Campus out in Rogers. We love you guys.
We love you.
You know, they've been through it with us, ups and downs, lefts and rights, and they're family to us, and we have the honor of spending our lives with them, and we just love being a part of this family, so we are excited. And, of course, thank you to my amazing wife for being on this wild roller coaster ride through it all. Amen? You look good tonight, babe.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I want to encourage you to get out your journals. You were handed a journal on your way in, and I forgot to bring mine up here, but you can go ahead and get out your journals. And throughout this month, we want to encourage you to follow along in those journals. Just some key takeaways, some scriptures you can reference, some places to take notes. Use them, abuse them, take them home, bring them back to church. They are yours to keep, all right? So make sure you check those out. And if you need one, you can pick one up on your way out and bring it next week when you come, okay? This year's stewardship campaign, vision campaign 2020 is called Heaven on Earth. I mean, come on, that title ought to get you excited. Heaven on Earth. And this weekend, we are talking about heaven in our families. Heaven in our families. And Jesus really gave us a glimpse of what his family looked like. The story of Jesus, hopefully you know, it started long before he came onto the earth as a baby, right? Jesus' story it was centuries old. And the interesting thing about Jesus' story is when you look at his lineage, when you look at his family, it was messed up. And he came from a lineage of murderers, adulterers, prostitutes, liars, doubters. That's where our Jesus came from. That's where his family came from. I mean, you can read all about it in Matthew 1:1-17. And even just think about his immediate family. Okay, you as believers know that Jesus was the Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
So doesn't that make Joseph his stepfather? Okay, so Jesus came into a blended family? Oh, and all the blended families were like, hallelujah, that's the best news I've heard all week. Right? And then you can read all throughout Matthew 13:55-56 about his brothers and sisters, actually then his stepbrothers and stepsisters. So Jesus and his family isn't quite that perfect family. It's not quite the heaven on earth family that we might assume it would be with our wonderful Jesus. And what that does is if Jesus Christ wasn't planted in the middle of a perfect family, then that sure does take a lot of pressure off of us as parents and families and grandparents. Come on, don't shout me down. All right? Everyone can take this deep breath because all of our families are messed up just like Jesus is. Yes! Woo! And we are at the top of that list. Help me out here, babe.
Speaking of interesting family dynamics, in the Jewish culture during Jesus's time, girls were engaged around 10 to 12 years old.
Wow.
And then as soon as they were able to have babies, they would get married to typically a 17 to 18-year-old Jewish man, which means Mary was most likely around 10 to 12 years old when
Wow.
she was engaged to Joseph and when the angel Gabriel had visited her. She was just a child. Luke 1:28 says, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor." The first thing the Lord told Mary was that was who she was, her identity, that he was with her, and that she was anointed and favored. Because the Lord is with us, we are anointed and favored.
Yeah, that's good. I believe
and
that.
She is so scared, of course. And Gabriel says to her in verse 30, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift." Now the Lord tells her how he feels about her, that he delights in her. And notice this was before she had Jesus, before she took care of him, before she raised him. He was delighted in her simply because she was his child. Mm. And when the Lord looks at us, he not only loves us, but he is delighted in us. And it's nothing that we've done or will do, but it's simply because we're his children.
Yeah.
And he loves us.
Yeah.
And he loves to surprise his children with wonderful gifts.
Yeah, that's good.
And Gabriel said to her that this gift was going to be that she gets to be the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. And that he said to her, in your family, your aunt, he said, you're going to be the Son of God. And in that culture, in that Jewish culture, being pregnant before marriage was not considered a gift.
Right.
People could stone her for breaking the Jewish law.
Right.
And so Mary asks him, how can this be? And he tells her, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And your aunt Elizabeth, who's in your family, the one who's struggling with barrenness, is miraculously 6 months pregnant. And then he says to her in verse 37, not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. So every one of his promises is filled with power to cover any difficult family situation, any struggling family member, any fears we have concerning our family or needing wisdom or miracles. We know and believe that nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
And how does Mary, this very young child, respond to the Lord's word? In verse 38, she says, "This is amazing. Mm. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass." And the angel left her. This reminds me of what childlike faith looks like.
Yeah.
We do not have to understand in order to believe. She was so happy to believe and receive, and she had so many reasons not to. She was becoming a mother and a wife at the same time at such a young age. What would Joseph think? She's breaking the Jewish law. She has no experience or qualifications. She never expected her family to look this way, right? But she chose to focus on who the Lord is and what he said.
Yeah.
And the Lord knew she was stepping into a new family with a new season, and there was going to be difficult times.
Yeah, right.
When we face difficult family challenges that bring new seasons, The Lord reminds us, just like he reminded Mary, I am with you.
Yeah.
You are anointed
yeah.
and favored. I delight in you because you are my child.
Right.
You do not need to yield to fear
right.
because I am faithful to work everything out. You can trust me with your family, with your life.
Yeah.
Look for the good gifts that I give you that I want to surprise you with. Know and believe that nothing is impossible with me. And he reaches into our hearts
yeah.
and he writes on our hearts and he establishes this truth that we are able to carry with us through any season with our family
yeah.
because of him.
Yeah.
And the kingdom of God, it starts with the heart, right? It starts small. It starts inside. And then extends out.
Yeah,
our culture says the opposite.
Right.
But the kingdom of God focuses on who the Lord is, what he thinks, what he says, what he sees, what he feels, what he does.
Mm.
And we treasure who he is in our hearts, just like Mary did.
Yeah, yeah.
And then who he is extends out from us to our families and those situations
yeah,
and others around
so
us.
So good. That's so good. That can you see why I get so distracted in church? Because I'm just like, that was good, church. Listen, right along with that, I mean, this is why I personally believe Jesus' family was imperfect. When you read about all that just kind of unfolded, even with Mary, I believe personally, Jesus wanted to prove that no family could succeed or make it without his involvement.
Yes.
Okay, if you read in Romans 5:17, I love this scripture. It was a game changer for me. Death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. We receive grace so frequently for our finances. We receive grace for our health. We receive grace for our jobs. Why not receive grace, unmerited, undeserved favor for our families? Amen. Come on, what parenting book out there can truly make parenting a preteen child successful? Not one. What marriage book out there could make having a successful marriage 100% possible? Show me what marriage seminar out there can do that. Right? And what Bible verse makes it easy to be a stepmom? Mm-hmm. Heidi,
right.
You got one for me?
No.
No! I mean, come on. This is a faith journey. Family is a faith journey that we are on. Amen? And here, talking kind of off of what Heidi was saying, from my perspective, the enemy isn't necessarily trying to attack the family as much as he's trying to attack the individual's identity as a child of God. That word child is a family word. And we stand up here and we sing, I am a child of God. It's a family word. So as children of God, we have to identify. Because until we accept that we are children of God, I'm telling you right now, we will never see those qualities necessary to succeed come into our lives. Because we'll try and do it on our own. We'll try and do it with a self-help book. We'll try and do it with some sort of conference. And that will not hit our soul the way as knowing our identity in Christ will. Amen? 1 John 3:1. Look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love, that family term, that he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. And so when we want to know how to focus on the family, right? When we want to know how to take care of them first or experience heaven on earth in our family, here's the answer. You retreat into the Father. Now I'm standing up. It means things are going to get real good. I'm telling you right now. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed. We can all draw close to him. Retreat from this. And I know that's not a big fun word to use in church, retreat. Retreat from all this into the Father, right? Draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of our Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. This is what that means to me. Husbands, don't work more, worship more. Wives, hear me out. Don't nurture more. Be nourished more. It's so contradictory to the world, but come on, that's why I love this church. Because we're not afraid to say things like that. When the husband said to be a better husband, to be a better father, I got to get out there and I got to work more. I got to work harder so I can provide the kind of life. And God is saying, no, retreat into me, your Father. And the wives and the mothers are out there saying, I need to nurture more. I need to take care more. I need to be there more. How do I do this with distance learning? How do I spend the kind of time I need? And God is saying, no, retreat into me, your Father. I will supply all your needs according to His riches, not yours, not what you know, not what books you've read, not what you've experienced, but what He has given us by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. Healthy families, you want to write this one down. You can tweet it. Healthy families make a healthy church. Amen. Amen. Healthy families make a healthy church. That means together we can support this vision together, our families together, this family working together to support the vision to reach people, touch lives, make a difference. Amen. Come on. That's good.
Yeah. And there is an example of that. Healthy families making healthy churches in Acts 16. Paul, along with Luke and Timothy and Silas, were led by the Holy Spirit to Philippi. And in verse 13, it says, when the Sabbath day came, we went outside the gates of the city to the nearby river, for there appeared to be a house of prayer and worship there. Sitting on the riverbank, we struck up a conversation with some of the women who had gathered there. Now, these women were there by the river because Philippi didn't have a synagogue in it. And at that time, in order to have a synagogue in the city, you had to have a congregation of at least 10 Jewish men. Otherwise, you had to gather outside the city gates. And this river that they had gathered at was at least a mile and a half away. So this shows that these women valued and prioritized gathering together to pray and worship the Lord. They had a hunger for Him, and going out of their way was worth it. In verse 14 and 15, one of them was Lydia, a businesswoman from the city of Thyatira, who was a dealer of exquisite purple cloth and a Jewish convert. While Paul shared the good news with her, now Lydia had already worshiped the Lord, but she hadn't heard about Jesus yet. God opened her heart to receive Paul's message. She devoted herself to the Lord, and we baptized her and her entire family. Afterwards, she urged us to stay in her home, saying, since I am now a believer in the Lord, come and stay in my house. So we were persuaded to stay there. The Holy Spirit led Paul to go to Philippi, to go outside the city, to go to the river, to meet with Lydia. Yeah. Isn't it beautiful how we can trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, to put us in the right place at the right time?
Yeah.
And how God pursues our hearts like He pursued Lydia's hearts. Lydia's heart, opening our hearts up to receive more deeper revelation of His love for us and who He is.
Yeah, Father.
And that's why she went to the river. She went to the river because she wanted to know more of who the Lord was.
Yeah.
Like Matthew 7:7, she was asking, seeking, knocking. And the Lord met her. And the transformation in her heart because of that encounter with the Lord led to the transformation of her family.
Yeah,
and then she invited them into her home, Paul and his friends, becoming the first house church in Europe. And it continued to grow and spread so much that they were able to generously and abundantly support Paul's ministry. And it all started with the transformation of Lydia's heart extending to her family and then to Philippi and spreading all through Europe. Because Jesus says in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a tiny seed. And when it's planted, it grows into a huge tree with extending branches where birds come and make their nest on it. And our focus isn't on the outside details, right? The branches and the birds and the nests and solving all the problems and all the concerns. But our focus is on our loving Father.
Yeah.
Right? Who comes in and transforms our hearts, and he's the one who grows, and he's the one who works out all the details, and we get to be a part of it and watch the branches grow, and he makes a way where there was no way.
I love it.
And it's most of the time not how we expect it, but we know that it's going to be good. We know it's going to be better than we imagined,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Because he's a good father and he loves his children.
I love it. I love it, babe. I love how the prolification of the entire church, starting with one precious woman being touched by Father God, bringing it into her family, bringing it into the church. A woman that wasn't allowed to even be in the church in the first place. God left the synagogue maybe to come and meet with her by the river. Any Lydias out there? I'll be a Lydia. Come on. Psalm 133. We're going to wrap up with this before we turn it over to Pastor Max. Psalm 133. I love the Psalms. Everybody at Northwest knows I love the Psalms because David was so messed up. It's my boy. I feel like David sometime. Anybody else, right? Psalm 133, 1 through 3, how truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters, that's that family talk again, living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as a sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forever. And so we can read here that not only when we retreat into the Father and receive that identity as one of his children, not only then when we commit ourselves to our families to say, how can I be there for you, family? How can I support you, family? By receiving from my Father and teaching you to do the same. And then bringing who you are as a family and who your family is and all its bits and pieces and imperfections, bringing it here to the church to accomplish the greater call. Not only will we experience unity, amen. Not only will we experience harmony, amen. Not only will we experience anointing, but we will experience This family will experience, your family will experience the eternal blessing. That's the blessing for today. That's the blessing for tomorrow. That's the rest of 2020. That's leading into 2021. The decision you make to receive from your Father will have a result. I'm going to go here. It has a result that passes far beyond anything you could imagine in your wildest dreams. And so you say to yourself, I am here. and I am committing, I am committing, I am committing. But the Lord says, you are not committing for this moment. You are committing for your children. You are committing for your children's children. You are committing not just for the church today, not just for the church tomorrow, but the church that will take this place and your family into the future. So don't settle for what you see now and what you feel now, because I have called you to go into places that are further out than your natural eye can even think about, can even dream about, can even imagine. And so your seed, as small as you think it is today, will produce a harvest that will not just feed you, it will feed your family, and it will feed others' families, says the Lord. And we receive that right now in Jesus' name. This is it right here. If you get one thing today, well, first get that, because that was from God. You can forget everything else as far as I'm concerned. When he speaks, that's what I want. Thank you, Jesus. But this is the one thing right here that just stuck out to us. God wants to use this church. And God wants to use your family in all its imperfections, just like ours, as a conduit for his eternal blessing. And if that's you, just receive it now and give him some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks again for joining us this week. We know that God meets us right where we are, no matter where that is. If you want to get plugged into our church community by joining one of our life groups, donate to our cause, or just learn more about the mission here at Northwest, please visit us at lwcc.org/Northwest. You can also text the word CONNECT to 612-688-3939. That's 612-688-3939. If this message encouraged you, it would probably encourage someone you know. So feel free to share it. We look forward to connecting with you and hope that you'll join us again next week.